You turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to veer from our series on the parables, the kingdom of God, this morning and have a communion meditation from God's word. As you're turning, get a bulletin. Be apprised of the things that's happening this week. We've got prayer meeting, youth nursing home ministry, family worship night on Wednesday, young married couple fellowship, Elisha and Esther this Saturday. Get a bulletin. Stay abreast. After service tonight, there's a fundraiser fellowship after our evening service. I'm looking forward to how God is going to meet with us in both of the services today. In fact, he's already meeting with us. Hallelujah. I like what it says. The scripture says he's not far from any one of us. If we would feel after him, reach after him. Continue to remember in prayer those who are on our prayer list. Could you stand for the reading of God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Thank you for honoring God's word with standing. Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." I'm not going to share an exposition this morning. I want to share a communion meditation before we take communion. And I'm both verses 18 and then these latter verses that I read, it talked about different opinions of the cross. To those that had not experienced the cross, it was just foolishness. But it was completely different attitude that those had who had experienced the cross. They said, "It's not foolishness. It's the power of God." They could say that because they personally experienced the power of the cross in their lives. I'm going to minister this morning on why we love the cross. Why we love the cross. Heavenly Father, just shut us up in this building. Shut the world out. Shut the distraction out. And shut us up, Lord, to the truth of the cross. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint, oh God. You would speak, that you would meet the needs, even as the word of God goes forth. Lord, anoint me to speak. Remove distraction from my heart and mind so that people could be ministered to. Lord, you're able to do that through the preached word. Do it this morning, Lord. Be here at the table in the Lord's Supper. May we sense your presence, Lord. Heal, Lord, even as we partake and minister and strengthen in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You may remember that last Sunday morning that Brother Steve led us in the song, "The Old Rugged Cross." The Old Rugged Cross. Now, as he was singing, I was thinking of how that was being streamed. And how to many, not just unbelievers, but to much of the church world, I begin to think how that song, "The Old Rugged Cross," must seem so antiquated. Just outmoded. I mean, how primitive can you get than to sing about an old rugged cross that's stained with blood? And I was sure that there are many, many, many in our society that would have those thoughts about the cross. I mean, it's just something that's a remnant of a primitive religion and a primitive belief. But as I thought that, I thought to myself, that may be true. People may feel that way, but that's still where the power's at. That's still where forgiveness is at. That still, if there's going to be a change in people's life, it's still going to happen at the cross. Can you say amen? Amen. That's still where the hope is at. In fact, I was talking to myself as we were singing. If we do not preach the cross, we have no message. We have no reason for believing. We have no hope to give. Amen. One of the verses of that song says, and I love that old cross. We're the dearest and blessed. For a world of lost sinners was slain. And from there we went back into the course. I will cherish the old rugged cross. I begin to ask the question at the moment, why do we cherish the cross? Why do we love the cross? Amen. You see, it's only us who have experienced it that really love it. And Paul begins to share that. He says in these verses that we read, he said there's two groups of people and they have a completely different response to the cross. He said there are those that are perishing. They're lost. They're without God. They're a part of this world. And those that are perishing, their response to the cross is that it's silly, that it's just ridiculous. But he said there's another class of people. They're actually on the other side of the cross. They've been there. Amen. And this group of people are the saved. And to them, the cross is not foolishness. Amen. It's the power of God. You see, it's not this message of the cross in responding to it that way. It's not just for the first time hearer of the message of the cross. It's not just for the needy sinner who hears the message and finds its power and gets saved. No. Paul said it's us. It might have been years ago that we knelt there. Amen. It might have been years ago since we got saved. But it's still we who are saved that glory in the cross, that cherish the cross. Amen. Because we know its power in our life. Amen. Whether we're in the audience and the message is being targeted to sinners or whether it's being preached to us as believers, once again, what it has done, what it is doing and will doing, it makes no difference. Our hearts still thrill, amen, at the message of the cross. It's the hope of mankind. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the changing of the life. It's the forgiveness of the sins. It's the reconciliation to God. It's the redemption from slavery. It's the deliverance from sin and its bondages. It's in the cross. And so though it's true we feel that way, my question is yet, why do we love the cross? Three simple reasons. Number one, our love for the cross is in that he went. It's in the fact that he went to that cross. We know this. We know that at any time, Christ, once they laid that cross on him, at any time, he could have tossed it aside and ascended straight to heaven. At any time, he could have called and dispatched 10,000s of angels to slaughter any Roman soldier, keep back any mob that would try to restrain him and put him on that cross. He could have done that. The Gospel of John, and said, it says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. I got to thinking about the words. It doesn't say they dragged him. They drug him to that place. It doesn't say that they drove him. It said he, bearing his cross, he went forth. Nothing there that shows they coerced him to follow that road. He knew where the road ended. The cross was on his back. He bore it as long as he could. They had to get him help, yes. But when he left that place of his beating, that place where he had been wrongly accused, he wasn't driven, he wasn't drugged, he went on his own. I'm telling you, we love the cross because we marvel that he actually went there for us. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He never tried to lay that cross down. He never tried to escape. He never refused to walk. He just carried it because he knew what he was doing on our behalf. That's why we love the cross. The other old hymn says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Amen. Sometimes I like to, well, a lot of times I like to joke my wife. And I'm over at the house. It's raining real hard. And I need a book for my office. And I kind of joke her. I'd say, why don't you just jump up and go over there and get my book out of my office for me? And she'll say, it's raining. Or maybe I get an urge for a certain flavor of ice cream and 10 o'clock at night. Won't you jump in the car and go to the grocery store? Go get me some ice cream. And when she protests, I always say this. I'd do it for you. The fact of the matter is, He did do it for us. He did. He knew what going to the cross would entail. He knew the horrors that awaited Him. He knew the shame that was there. He knew the pain that was there. He knew that the Father, who cannot look upon evil, would have to turn His face when He beheld His Son loaded down with our sins. He even knew that being man, He would suffer, but being God, He was repulsed by the fact that your and my sin would be laid upon Him. And yet knowing what all it entailed, He walked that road anyway, and He went to that place anyway, and He was crucified when He could have delivered Himself, and He did it for us. The fact that He even did it is why we love that cross. Every time you look at the cross, every time you hear about the cross, every time you read about it, your thought to my thought should be, He did it for me. He went there for me. I was talking to one of our sisters this week, been reading through the Bible. She's been in the Gospels, and she began to tell me, she said, I just read about the crucifixion of Jesus again. And she said, the thing that I can't hardly get my mind wrapped around, the thing I just keep wondering at, is the fact that He would do it for me. May we never lose that. Once we've lost that, we've lost a whole bunch. Maybe even our salvation. May we never lose the wonder that He did it for me. He was nailed to the cross for me. Amen. We love the cross in that He actually went there for us. Secondly, our love for the cross is what He did on that cross. I know we could put it in a summary and say, first of all, He suffered there. And I think that ought to get to us. Only a hard heart would not be moved and stricken and grieved that He suffered for us on the cross. And whenever we mention the cross, it reminds us how awfully He did suffer. But you see, it's not just what the cross did to Jesus. It's what Jesus did on the cross. Sometimes, Brother Brock, we get stuck on that part of what the cross did to Jesus. It caused Him to suffer. But we should never forget, it's not a message of what the cross did to Jesus. It's a message of what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. We love it for that reason. Amen. If you're in the middle of the night, say 12 o'clock, you heard some noise on your roof, and you went outside, and there was a man on top of your roof, you would ask the question, what are you doing up there? I mean, there would be two prongs to that question. What are you? I mean, I don't know you. Who are you? What are you? Who gave you the authority? Who gave you the right to be on my roof? What are you doing up? But the second question would be, what is happening with you up there? Amen. You know, we ought to ask the first question and wonder. We look at Jesus on the cross. What are you doing on the cross? It ought to be me. Amen. What are you doing there? But the second part of the question that we need to focus on. Now, Lord, yes, you're on the cross. But what is it that you're doing there? What's taking place? What's happening as you hang there on the cross? Amen. He was doing something. The power of the cross is not in its substance, its shape, its location. It'll do nothing to wear it around your neck. Amen. As a piece of jewelry. And nothing to have it imprinted on a t-shirt. shirt. The power is not in the symbol. Amen. The power is in what Jesus was doing as he hung there. I mean, to everyone around, it seemed apparent that Jesus was doing nothing but hanging on the cross. I mean, it seemed to be a ludicrous question. What's he doing? It looked evident. He's just hanging there. But in hanging there, he was doing something that could be done no other way. It looked like he was just hanging there. But in hanging there, he was doing what none else could do. And in hanging there, he was doing what we needed most. Hallelujah. You could say he was just hanging there. No, when he was hanging there, he was doing something. What was he doing? First of all, he was taking our place, bearing our sins and their punishment. We sang a little bit of it, but the prophet Isaiah said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Now take note. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all." He wasn't just hanging there. He was bearing our sins. Hallelujah. That sin that you committed this week, you knew you shouldn't have. You're ashamed of it. The devil's already told you that God won't forgive you of that sin. I want you to know, when he was hanging there, he was bearing that sin that day. Hallelujah. You can keep punishing yourself over your sins, but you need to know something. When he was hanging there, he was doing something. He was being punished for our sins. Aren't you glad? That's why we love the cross. Amen. He wasn't just hanging there. He was defeating our enemies, every demon. He was defeating death. He was defeating disease. It looked like he was doing nothing but hanging. But while he was hanging, he was doing battle with every demon. It looked like he was just hanging, but he was fighting against death itself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Paul said in Colossians, "And you who being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's great. But look at verse 15. He was doing something else besides just dealing with our sins. Verse 15. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross." It looked like he was just hanging there, but he was defeating every demon that would come against you. He was defeating every power of wickedness and darkness and evil that would rise up against the church. I'm telling you, it looked like he was just hanging there, but he was putting his foot and crushing the head of Satan. Glory to God. We need not fear these powers of darkness, because as he hung there, he overcame and he conquered them. He wasn't just hanging there, he was overcoming addiction for every person that had an addiction. Those that had man in captive, God conquered them and he took them into captivity. He hath led the captivity captive. Oh, hallelujah. I said, we got reason to love that old cross. It defeats every temptation. It defeats every dark thought. It defeats every enemy that would put us in bondage. He did it in the cross. It's only true of the honeybee. The honeybee stings. It'll sting you, but its stinger's has barbs on it. And those barbs catch against your flesh. And when that honeybee seeks to fly away, It literally, this is nice before lunch, but you got to get it. It literally not only rips his stinger out, but it rips out the parts of the abdomen, guts, and nerves. That was for the young people. And in ripping out its very innermost organs with its stinger, it'll fly for a little bit, and then it dies. It thought it was inflicting great harm, but then the inflicting of its harm, it sealed its death sentence. I'm telling you, when Christ hanged on the cross, every demon in hell said, "We've got him. We've got him." They came and they inserted their venom of discouragement, their venom of addiction, their venom of evil, their venom of temptation, their venom of lust. They inserted their venom within Christ and said, "We've got him. We're hurting him." And it did hurt him. But I'm telling you, when they inserted their stingers of evil on Christ and the cross, they were sealing their death sentence. They were sealing their destiny, because when they left the cross, they were defeated. I said they thought they were defeating him, but they were in fact defeating themselves through Christ. Aren't you glad? Don't you love the cross? Hallelujah. That's why death, Paul said, "Where is thy sting?" Christ has already taken it. We have downplayed the message of the cross. But I want to tell us something. Jesus didn't die on the cross to give a person self-esteem. That's not the message. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make us rich. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could drive a newer make car, a more expensive brand. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could live in a fancier house. I think the church ought to be involved in feeding the hungry. But Jesus didn't die on the cross just to feed the hungry or educate the illiterate. Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could have another support group. Jesus died on the cross so we could be forgiven and sin and Satan could be defeated. Hallelujah. I love that old cross. He died there that the holiness of our God might be satisfied and God could deal with us in grace and mercy instead of judgment. Last of all, why do we love the cross? Our love for the cross is in what he did on the cross and in what that does for us today. It's not just a historical event. Now, to share this, I've got to just for a moment remind us that the truth of the cross must never be separated from the context of the following resurrection. The reason the cross has power is because it was followed by a resurrection. Had there been no resurrection, the cross would have had no power. It would just have been another man dying. Christopher Columbus in 1492 sailed the ocean blue, came to the West Indies. But I'm telling you one thing. He might have discovered the West Indies, but if he hadn't have returned, there'd been no point in his voyage. The New World would have gone on undiscovered for the moment. You see, the success of his trip wasn't that he came to the West Indies. It's that he returned. Amen. A fireman goes into a burning house where a child is at and succumbs to the flames and dies. It's a double tragedy. It's no cause for rejoicing. It's a cause for grief. But if he goes into the burning house and comes out with the rescued child, it's a source of rejoicing. You see, it's not just that he went to the cross and he died. It's not that he just faced darkness and death. It's the fact that he came back from it. Hallelujah. He resurrected. Glory to God. The cross has power because he resurrected after having been there. And because of that, it's not just a historical event. It continues to affect me. The power of the cross and the reason we love it isn't just what happened the day we got saved, but it's what the cross is continuing to do and constantly does in my life as a believer. Aren't you glad for the cross? Now I want to warn us before I close with what it's doing for us today. The moment I begin to feel like I need the cross any less than the day that I got saved. The moment I begin to feel that I need the cross any less than the despicable, the flagrant sinner, or the one bound by evil. At that moment when I begin to feel like I need the cross any less, my salvation is in jeopardy, my soul is ungrateful, and my mind is puffed up with pride and self-sufficiency. Even Paul said to those that don't believe, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. I'll say it in Greek, it's moronic. It's moronic. Amen. I'm telling you, when I, as a believer, begin to find the cross less important, primitive, even a little silly, I believe I have lost my salvation, because I'm feeling about the cross the way those that are perishing feel about it. Oh, but if I take a look at the cross, I'll begin to see not one only that he did, but what he is doing for me right now, today, right here. What did he do? He was made naked. I read it this morning. They stripped him of his garments. But Brother Rose, he was made naked so I could be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I said, at the cross, he was made naked so I could put on the robes. Oh, let us be glad and rejoice because we're clothed in fine linen, which is his righteousness. Amen. Not only that, he was cursed that we could be blessed. Cursed, the law said, it's everyone that hangeth from the tree. He was cursed for our sins, but he was cursed so we could be blessed. You can leave the house this morning blessed of God because he was cursed on the cross. Amen. He bore the burden on the cross so we could lay ours down. Hallelujah. I said he bore the burden on the cross. So this morning you can lay your burden down. In that beloved allegory by John Bunyan, when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he talked about Christian struggling under that load, that big old burden on his back. It was on there tight. It was heavy. And John Bunyan said that Christian, as he walked with that heavy burden, began to climb a hill. And when he got to the top of the hill, he saw the cross. And when he saw the cross, he felt that burden begin to loosen off his back, and suddenly it fell off his back and rolled down the hill and to a tomb never to be seen again. And Christian said with a merry heart, he has given me rest by his sorrow. He has given me life by his death. I'm telling you, he bore your burden so you can lay it down. Hallelujah. He overcame that we might overcome. He was wounded so our wounds could be healed. Are you sitting here this morning wounded? He was wounded so you can be healed. I believe by his stripes we are healed. I believe that applies to physical healing, but it's not limited to physical healing. He'll heal your mind. He'll heal your heart. He'll heal your hurt. He'll heal your wound of betrayal. Hallelujah. Why do I love the cross? Because of what he did. What that does for us today. I'm going to mention just a few things that I'm done. What can it do this morning? And why do I love that cross today? It's where my forgiveness takes place. It wasn't just the day I got saved at 5 years old that I needed forgiveness. I need forgiveness every day. You say you some wicked sinner? No, I'm human. I'm a man. Amen. Pastor, you don't have to remind us of that. It's real obvious. I just want to tell you, we need forgiveness. I love the cross because I can kneel there and say, Father, forgive me. And he takes a look at the cross and says, yeah, you're forgiven. I don't take that light. I don't presume upon it. I'm just grateful for it. Hallelujah. It's where my forgiveness takes place. It's where my perspective is corrected. I begin to think it's not worth it all. I can't make it. There's nothing to this. Amen. Look at the mess the world's in, the church is in. I mean, I get grouchy. You do too. I get disturbed. You do too. Everything looks gloomy. No hope, no help. Amen. But I can go to the cross. I begin to think of what Jesus has done. And suddenly my whole perspective is different. I'm in a new world again. Hallelujah. It's the same old world, but he's changed my perspective. Amen. If you're down in the dumps, discouraged, depressed, amen, your perspective is warped of life. Amen. Warped. Your perspective of people is warped. I've got some news for you. I've got some advice for you. Revisit the cross. It'll change your perspective. If you think you can't make it, go back to the cross. It'll change your perspective. You'll stand and say, he conquered it all. Hallelujah. When I fought, I've been defeated. Hallelujah. The cross was what I needed. Amen. Amen. I love that cross because it's where I regain my gratitude, my attitude, and my rightful altitude. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it'll just work you over. Amen. Complaining because you got a few problems, and then you look at the cross and see what he went through. Amen. It'll change your attitude in a hurry. Amen. You take someone that's bitter and critical and fault-finding. You take someone that's looking down on everybody and everything. They haven't been to the cross. You get to the cross, it'll change your attitude. I'm talking to the believer right now. Yes, the sinner needs the cross for salvation, but I'm glad I can visit the cross. It'll change my attitude. I love that cross because it's where I join his crucifixion that I also might join in his resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said the cross is where I join his crucifixion that I might also join in his resurrection. I've heard people say you need to clean up your religion. You need to take Jesus down from the cross. I'm telling you, man's need isn't to take Jesus down from the cross. Amen. Man's need is to join Jesus on the cross. Die to self. Die to self-will. Die to self-way. Die to selfishness. Just die to the old man. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you'll join him on the cross, you'll join him in his resurrection. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? And we could walk in the newness of life. Join him on the cross, and you'll join him in the power of his resurrection. Last of all, and you can add to the list, but I love that cross because today it's where I recover my sense of his great love for me. The enemy tells all of us this: God don't really love you. Two passages from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. You see, whatever the devil tells me about God loving me, I need only to look at the cross and know that the devil's wrong, because the cross shouts, he loves me. As I used to sing, when I'm sad, he loves me. And even when I'm bad, he loves me. Aren't you glad for the cross? Take another look at it. That's just a symbol there. If you're sitting here this morning feeling insignificant, feeling pressed down, feeling like somehow God's forgotten, somehow God doesn't love you, take another look at the cross. And it shouts, I love you. Aren't you grateful for it this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those that are going to be helping with singing, would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love the cross this morning? Hallelujah. Thank God for technology. When grandkids are over 600 miles away, Nadia had her birthday a week ago, turned 3. They had a big party. All the other grandparents were there, three sets of greats and almost all, and grandparents. And Sandra's out shopping. So I got to take the call, and Gavin or Ashlyn, they had it on FaceTime. And they had it pointed right at her, so I was looking right at Nadia, and the room was full of people and had the coffee table there. Put gifts there for her to open, and she'd open one. And she'd see me over there on the screen. We'd FaceTime before. She kept saying, "Hi, Pa, hi, Grandpa." But she'd open a gift. I don't know who it was from, but when she opened it and looked at it, she'd look at the phone and say, "Thank you, Grandpa." And I took full credit. I said, "You're welcome, sweetheart." But before opening every gift, Ashton would put one down on the coffee table in front of her. Before opening every gift, she'd look around the room and say, "For me? For me?" We got to do that when we look at the cross. For me? For me? And you know what the answer is? Yes. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Do you love that old cross? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you've not accepted Christ as Lord and Master and Savior, you can do that this morning. Just go to the cross. Say, "Jesus, you died for me. You bore my sins. You bore the punishment of my sin. I'm grateful. I accept. I repent." But if you're here this morning and you're a believer, whatever you're struggling with, look to the cross. Whatever you're dealing with, look to the cross and believe. I know it hurts sometimes, what we face in life. But He was wounded that our hurt could be healed. Look at His wounds and find your wounds being healed. We invite everyone to partake of communion with us. We just ask that everyone hold your elements and wait till all have been served, and we'll partake together. Use the time of serving for meditation, seeking the Lord, amen, loving Him for what He did on the cross. Would you come serve us? We're going to serve now. Children that have talked it over with their parents and have had an experience of confessing Christ, may we invite them to join us as well. But let's let this be meaningful today. Amen. That He went there, what He did there, and what that means for us today. Amen. Would you continue to have a worshipful heart? Amen. As we serve.